Christmas is about Jesus. Amen. I hope all of us can say amen to that when I say Christmas is about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Christmas is about Jesus because Christmas is about the birth of the Savior of all the world, the Savior of all men, the Savior who came, whose blood was shed, sufficient to cover the sins of everyone who has ever lived. Christmas is about Jesus. You know, Christmas, when we oftentimes think of four kind of really significant events in the life of Jesus Christ, we think of his birth, we think of his death, we think of his resurrection, and we think of his ascension. You know, there is the birth of Jesus Christ as the bookend with the ascension of Jesus Christ. The passage that Kevin has read for us this morning in Acts chapter 1 is the passage of his ascension up into glory, into the glories of heaven, where Scripture tells us that he is seated at the right hand of God. Amen. And if you've been here over the last few weeks, we have been looking at this time of focusing on the first advent of Jesus Christ to be focused together as a church on his second advent. Because the wonderful truth that is singing throughout all of the New Testament is that the first coming of Jesus Christ looks ahead to his second coming. It is the time when he was born as a baby in Bethlehem that looks ahead to the time when he is going to come as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is that the one who was born in the manger where there was no room for him in the inn will one day come as the Lord of all things in all of his power and glory. That the one who wore a crown of thorns on his head will one day come back to earth bearing a crown of glory on his head. That is what Christmas is all about.
Amen.
And I'd like us to just set the stage here, the context for what Kevin just read for us in Acts chapter 1. Imagine that you are one of Jesus' disciples. And that Jesus has raised from the dead, and he has showed himself to you, as Acts 1 says. And if you have your Bibles this morning, would you hold your Bible up so we make sure we're all on the same page? We are focused on this book. Amen. Acts chapter 1, this is what Scripture says. In verse 3, to whom, to his disciples also, he showed himself alive. He presented himself, he proved himself alive, by many infallible proofs. What does that mean? Very simply, by things, by proofs that you couldn't make up. By unmistakable proofs. There was no lies, there was no mysteries, there was nothing deceptive about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He proved it to them. Being seen of them 40 days, Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them. This is the time that Jesus has been spending with his disciples. And now he takes them out to a particular place. He takes them out to a particular mountain. He is with them. His disciples are around them. And he's talking to them. He's telling them things. He's giving them their marching orders. He says, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me. Remember, we looked at that last week, the great commission that Jesus Christ has given to us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And suddenly, as he is speaking these things, suddenly they notice something interesting about the resurrected Jesus Christ. He starts to levitate off the ground. Now, I don't know if it happens very often that you have been speaking to someone and he has just suddenly started rising up in the air and floating above in the air. I doubt that has happened to any one of you. But suddenly Jesus Christ starts floating up in the air. And suddenly he reaches cloud level, and it is as if a cloud whisks him up out of their sight. Now, I'm going to tell you that you would be doing exactly what the disciples were doing at that moment. Let me give it in pictorial form as best I can. You would be doing the same thing. Yeah. Jesus just rose up out of your sight and went up on a cloud into heaven itself, and he's gone. And you know what Scripture says? Two men show up. Now, who do we think these two men were who just happened to show up out of nowhere? They were angels. Just as there were angels at the beginning of our Christmas story, there are angels that took place as God's messengers at other times as well. And look at verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, gazing mouth open, I'm imagining, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? What are you doing looking up into heaven like this? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Friends, I'd like to draw our attention this morning to three simple words. This same Jesus. You see, there's a great truth that the same Jesus that was born at Bethlehem was the same Jesus that hung on a cross and died for your sins and my sins. The same Jesus that was born at Bethlehem in this day that we celebrate called Christmas Day is the same one who was raised from the dead by the power of God. That this same Jesus who was born at Bethlehem on this day one day ascended up with the clouds to stand at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me, and that this same Jesus who was born at Bethlehem on this day 2,000 years ago, this day that we celebrate, is the one who will come down from heaven in the same manner that he went up. My friend, I'm going to title this message this morning, This Same Jesus. And may our eyes be open this morning. May the Holy Spirit illumine our understanding that we may look at this same Jesus who is alive right now and who is coming back to be Lord and Judge of all things. This same Jesus. Let's understand, first of all, that he's going to be the same person that returns. He is going to be the same person when he comes the second time. Let's understand, first of all, that he was alive then. He was alive then. Do you know, Christmas is not about fiction. Christmas is not about an idea. Christmas is not about something that makes us feel good inside. You know, that's how our culture treats it today. What is culture? How can people who are not Christians celebrate Christmas? Because they say, oh, do you know what Christmas is about? Christmas is about peace toward all men. Christmas is about love. Christmas is about goodwill. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's about a person. It's about a man who was born and was a real person. Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, that is what we celebrate at Bethlehem, was a real birth. Now, we received word late last evening that a certain relative of mine may be having a baby, perhaps even today, that there is some labor going on. You can pray for Kirsten. You can pray for Tony. There may be a Christmas baby coming today. And I'll tell you, what Kirsten is going through right now is real. And if you are a mother, you know that birth is about as real as it gets. Okay? So there is, I'm a father. But I sat on the birth, there was real, okay? It's real. You know, Jesus was really born. Do you know it was a real birth with everything that came along with a real birth? We have this idea that Mary was there with some halo over her head and Jesus came out, no crying he made, and all these other things. It was just this picturesque scene. Well, I don't sense that's what, it was a real birth, okay? It was a real birth in a real manger, in a real cold time. This was real. Amen. And he was alive back then. And the truth of it is, the story of Jesus is about a living person. It's about a person that walked the streets that every other real person did in his day, that wore the clothes that marked him out as a real person of his day, that spoke as a real person, as a living, breathing, actual, substantial person. That when he died on the cross, it was a real death that happened. His heart actually stopped beating. His brain waves actually stopped processing. His lungs stopped pumping out air. This was a real death. But friends, the story of Jesus is that there was a real resurrection. That when he lay in that tomb for three days, that on the third day, his brain waves resumed functioning. His heart, if you will, resumed its processes. There was a resurrected body that grew, that raised up from the death that had been there previously. He was real. And how do we know that? Jesus wanted to prove that to his disciples. It's why when Thomas doubted him, he showed right up in front of Thomas and said, "Hey, Thomas, put your hands right in. See these right here? See these hands in my, see these holes in my wrists and my hands right here? That's where the nails were." He said, "See the spear mark that's in my side, the scar that I have here?" He said, "Put your hand right in there and see that it's real." Do you know that's why in 1 John chapter 1, the Apostle John says that of this word of life, we have handled, we have touched, we touched the real Jesus. We knew that it was real, that he was real. We need to get this sense out of our minds that we're worshiping some idea, that we're worshiping some figment of our imagination. No, we're worshiping a person who lived then. And because he raised from the dead, the truth is that we are worshiping a real person who is alive now. That right now he is at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, that he ever lives to make intercession for us. He is at the right hand of God right now praying for you and praying for me, and it's actually happening. He's real, friends. He's alive. Amen. We don't celebrate at Christmas an idea, a fiction. We worship and we remember a real historical event involving a real historical person. But friends, he's not just alive then. He's not just alive now. The truth of Christmas is that he will be alive forever. Because my Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same person that rose from the dead and ascended up into heaven is the same person who will come back to be Lord and judge. The same person that will be the light of heaven for all eternity. The same person who will be the Lamb of God who is our fellowship for all of eternity. The same Jesus is alive. Now, this is why we need to grapple and understand very clearly that Jesus' return will be a bodily return. There are those theologians, there are those who reject the claims of Christ that try to pretend, oh, Jesus, when he says he's coming again, he just means he's going to come in spirit. He's just going to come in spirit and he's going to give a time of great peace to all of us. And we're going to sit around and hold hands and sing Kumbaya. It'll be a wonderful time when the Spirit of Jesus returns. No. No, they don't. The people who do that, they don't seem to understand English. Because my Bible says that the same Jesus is going to come down in the same manner that he went up. And he didn't go up to heaven as a spirit. He went up to heaven as a body, which means he's going to come back with a body. He is going to come back with a resurrected body as the same person, with the same characteristics, with the same heart of love, with the same desire for the salvation of mankind that he came with. He is going to be the same Jesus. And you, friend, will lay eyes on that Jesus. Why? Revelation 1 says that every eye will see him. Every eye will see him, and they will mourn whom they have pierced, whom they have crucified. You see, the Bible says that every knee will bow before that same Jesus. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. You will see Jesus Christ one day because he will be judge. Whether you are one of his children or whether you are not one of his children, this same Jesus you will meet. This same Jesus. Amen. We need to see, first of all, not just the same person. We need to see, secondly, the same plan. The same plan that is to be held for each of us. Because as Scripture calls him, this same Jesus will return. He will return with the same plan for which he came originally. You say, what do we celebrate at Christmas? What do we celebrate that took place at Bethlehem? We celebrate the great plan of God that started from before the foundation of the world. You see, this plan, first of all, had a past. It had a past. Scripture said that Jesus Christ in 1 Peter 1 was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you. Do you know man's sin was not a surprise to God? Do you know man's rebellion against God did not catch Jesus, did not catch God off guard? Do you know that Jesus Christ was foreordained before the world was ever created? Scripture says of Jesus that he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was in a sense that he was already foreordained to be a sacrifice for mankind. And so, and we see through the Old Testament, this prophesied Jesus Christ would be the one, the Lamb of God, to come and take away the sin of the world. That all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, on Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. This was the plan. And so as this plan had a past, it had a present that took place at Bethlehem. It was when in, as Scripture says, in the fullness of time, in the exact right moment of human history, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin named Mary, to be born in a stable in Bethlehem, to be born to a humble family, to be born with no intrinsic glory about himself, no commanding kind of presence or personality that would make people flock to him, no overwhelming good looks that would make people hold him up as their leader. No, Jesus Christ came right according to plan, the plan that was foreordained before the foundation of the world. You see, this is that same plan that had a past. It had a present, not only then, but a present now. What is the plan that is going on in the world today? It is that God is gathering out of the world a special people for himself. That's what's going on today. The gospel is going to the ends of the earth. We are fulfilling, I trust, the great commission that God has given to us. And he is reaching out with his arms of love and gathering in a family of God to himself. A family that will be seen one day, assembled at the great marriage supper of the Lamb. That is what is happening. From every tribe, from every kingdom, from every race, from every ethnicity, from every language, a tribe, a family is being brought out. You see, friends, you need to look at the plan. Because if you don't look at the plan, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to look around and say, God, what's going on right now? Why are so many people rejecting you? Why are so many people turning away from you? But no, the Christian looks to his Bible and says, if there was a plan from the foundation of the world, if God had a plan foreordained that led in the fullness of time to Jesus Christ coming back, that tells me that that plan is going ahead right now and God's not being surprised. God's not being overwhelmed. The plan is going according to schedule. Friends, can I tell you something about God? God doesn't make contingencies. God doesn't make plans and need to have kind of three or four separate plans just in case his plan doesn't work. Do you know God has a plan with a capital P? Do you know there is a purpose toward which all of human history is going? Earlier this week, I had for part of my calling as an attorney, we had an argument going on in court. And we were going to have four separate people do part of this argument, but we weren't sure how much time we were going to have. So we had to make all these contingencies. All right, if you go this long, then we're only going to have two people argue. And if it goes this long, we're going to have three people argue. And if it goes this long, then we'll have all four people argue. We had to make all these contingencies. Why? Because it wasn't totally in our control how long we would be going. We were dependent on what the judge wanted to do. But that's not God. God is the sovereign one who is in control. He is the one who sees the end from the beginning and who brings his purposes to pass. And so the plan that is going on right now is that God, in his long suffering, as 2 Peter 3 says, is the one who is gathering out of the world this special people for himself. Friends, don't listen to the ones who would tell you, as 2 Peter 3 says, well, where is the time of his coming? They've been waiting for him to come from Paul's day. Paul was expecting him to come every minute, and he hasn't come yet, has he? Well, maybe we're all believing a lie. No, 2 Peter 3 talks to that directly. It says those scoffers don't know what they're talking about because they don't know the delay. The delay that appears to us is actually the long suffering of God. The long suffering of God that is seeking to draw more and more into his family, into his body. You see, the same plan, friends, not only as a past, it not only as a present, but it has a future. It has a future. It's that Jesus Christ shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. Friend, don't get discouraged right now by what you see around you. Don't get discouraged by what you see going on in this world with only, it seems, more and more stories about violence, more and more stories about tragedy, more and more stories about horrific evil that you see all around you. No, friend, look ahead. Those angels told those disciples, this same Jesus is coming back. This same Jesus is going to be the one who's coming in bodily form to restore order to this world that he created. His plan is not being overrun. His plan is not being contradicted. It is on schedule, and he will reign. Friends, we look forward to that day when it says with the book of Revelation, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of this Christ. Look ahead to that day. The same Jesus is coming with the same plan that has been in place since the foundation of the world. Jesus is Lord. So we see, first of all, here the same person, Jesus Christ. Secondly, we say the same plan. It is the same plan that is the salvation of man that is still looking to be finalized and accomplished. But one thing we need to make very clear about this morning is that while there is the same person, there is the same plan, there is a very different prerogative. A very different prerogative. What is a prerogative? A prerogative means your right. It means your authority. It means, in a sense, your task that you have been given. And the truth of the matter is that while we worship the same Jesus that was born at Bethlehem, while we worship today the same Jesus that died on Calvary, that while we worship the same Jesus who, yes, was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we worship a same Jesus who will be returning with a very different purpose and a very different prerogative than when he was born at Bethlehem. You see, when he came the first time, my friend, he came to save. That's what he did. This is what the cry of the angels was. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a what? A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, friends, he's coming back to save you. But friends, when he comes, that same Jesus comes back a second time. He's coming back to be the judge. He's coming back to be the king. He's coming back to be the Lord. that as those angels looked at those disciples and said, this same Jesus is coming back in like manner as you see him go up, perhaps those disciples had ringing in his ear the words in the book of Matthew that Jesus said, that said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory with the holy angels, he will sit on the throne of his glory. Yes, Jesus has a throne to sit on when that same Jesus comes down from heaven. He has a throne that's going to be a judgment throne. That's going to be where all mankind is assembled before him. Where all those who have not accepted his reign over their lives, but instead have rejected it, have rejected his claims to be the Son of God, will be assembled before him. The books will be opened. The judgments will be made. And legion upon legion upon multitude, millions upon millions, and yes, billions of those who have rejected him as the Son of God will be bound together and cast into the lake of fire. You see, that same Jesus who came in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago as a baby to be the Savior of those who believe in him is the same Jesus who will come in bodily form to be the judge of all men. And the question we should ask ourselves this morning on this Christmas morning is that as we worship the Lord in the manger, that as we worship the Jesus Christ of the stable, as our hearts are warmed by the thought of this gentle baby, this gentle child that came as that gentle sun rising we talked about yesterday at our Christmas Eve service, Jesus Christ, the day spring, who rose, if you will, in the sky that morning 2,000 years ago. Do we worship the same Jesus who is coming back to be our judge? The same Jesus who is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? My friend, that's the most important question this Christmas. The most important question is whether you have ever come into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The most important question is whether you have ever bowed before him, whether you have ever looked at him as he has presented in the Word of God and said, Jesus, you are the Son of God. You were sent from this supreme divine plan to be my Savior, to forgive my sin, to be my Lord, to be my King. My friend, if you have done that, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, he is your Savior, you can look ahead to that day when that same Jesus is going to come down in the same manner that he went up, and it will be the day of your greatest joy because that's your Savior coming back. A number of years ago in the early 1940s, perhaps one of the handful of most famous generals in all of United States military history, a man named Douglas MacArthur, was forced to leave the island of the Philippines. He was driven out by the Japanese squeezing in around him at all sides. The president was very concerned about having his most famous general captured on the Philippines. He sent an order, General MacArthur, go out to Australia. Escape if you can. And in a daring, actually a thrilling escape, Douglas MacArthur took his family and some other of his staff and made it out on some PT boats going through a very, very dangerous seas at night seeking to evade the Japanese that were blockading him in. And when Douglas MacArthur reached Australia, he had a message for the people of the Philippines. He said, I shall return. I shall return. And Douglas MacArthur did return. He did return. He did fight his way back to walk to those, that area of the Philippines. And if you could have been there perhaps on that day when some of his former soldiers, some of whom had been in captivity, the people of the Philippines who had been under a rule that was tyrannical and cruel of a foreign invader, could have welcomed Douglas MacArthur coming back, fulfilling his word, saying, "I shall return." Oh, would their hearts have been joyful? Oh, would their hearts have been glad? My friend, Jesus Christ has said to you this morning, "I shall return." This same Jesus will come back. And if he's your Lord and Savior this morning, on this Christmas day, you can rejoice. But friends, if he's not your Savior, if he's not your Lord, if you don't know whether this same Jesus is your Savior, whether he is the one who has accomplished your salvation, my friend, it should strike terror in your heart, because this Savior who came at Bethlehem, is the same Jesus who will come back as judge of all things. My friends, on this Christmas, may we worship the same Jesus who was born at Bethlehem, the same Jesus who will one day come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the same Jesus. Oh, what a precious gift we have. What a precious gift we celebrate this Christmas. Father, as 1 Peter tells us, to you that believe, he is precious. Oh, may Jesus Christ be precious to those of us in this church today, to anyone who is watching this service by live stream. May Jesus Christ be precious. Let's pause for a moment, friends, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Who is Jesus Christ to you this morning, my friend? Have you received him as your Savior? Have you received him as your Lord? Oh, I pray that it may be so. If you've never trusted him as Savior, if you've never cast your hopes of eternal life all on him, if you've never entered in at the straight gate that leads to life, may you do so this morning on this Christmas day. If any of you would say this morning, "I don't know whether Jesus is my Savior. I don't know whether I've ever trusted him for eternal life," you can slip out from where you're seated and come to this front row. Someone will take a Bible and show you what the Bible says about how you can know that your sins are forgiven. Is there anyone that would come this morning and say, "I need Jesus. I need to know that same Jesus is my own Savior"?
Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you with praise this morning for your love and grace in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we ask you to open our hearts this day as we celebrate your birth to earth, and we give you the glory for everlasting grace through Christ. And help us to live our lives deserving of the gift that you've given us today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.